This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be on each and every one of you. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to another in our series, The Best in Islam. In this episode, we're looking at what is the best amongst us with regards to the Quran. Who among us is best with regards to the Quran? The Prophet was narrated by Sa'd to have said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you are those who learn the Quran and teach it to others. This is a very sound hadith, authentic, collected by Imam Bukhari as well as the other scholars of the Sunan. This hadith contains a wealth of knowledge that we should reflect on. The Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, did not say, the best of you are those who learn the Quran. He didn't say that. He said, the best of you are those who learn the Quran and teach it to others. This is what makes us the best. That the knowledge that we learn, we pass it on to others. If you can remember, a number of episodes back, we had another hadith which talked about the best human being, the best among us, with regards to benefit, in which the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, had said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of people are those who are most beneficial to people. So it's about the benefit. Benefit you take is one thing, that's for you. That's good. It's good to take benefit. But what makes you the best or better than others is when you share that benefit with others. So that's the statement of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him. So when you apply it to the Quran, being the best book, the best source of guidance, then the best amongst us would be those who learn the Quran and teach it to others. So that is the basic picture. However, if we go back to the beginning of this statement, the best of you are those who learn the Quran. Note that he didn't say, the best of you are those who memorize the Quran. Because for now, when we look in our society, we will say, the best of us, you know, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ حَفِظَ الْقُرْآنَ وَحَفَّظَ. The best of you are those who memorize the Quran and teach others to memorize it. That's how we have understood it. But that's not what the Prophet ﷺ said. He didn't say the best are those who memorize the Quran. Were the best of us those who memorize the Quran, then the righteous caliphs would have all memorized the Quran, but they were not known to have in the time of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. When the Prophet ﷺ died, the numbers who actually memorized the whole Quran out of the 40,000 plus companions who were with the Prophet and the last Hajj of his life, a few months after which he died, less than 10 of them had memorized the whole Quran. So had the memorization of the Quran been a goal for all Muslims, then be sure that the vast majority of the companions of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, would have memorized the whole Quran. But that's not the case. The vast majority of them did not memorize the whole Quran. Instead, what we hear from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is that they used to learn the Quran 10 verses at a time. And they would not move on to another 10 verses from the Quran until they had understood everything that was in the first 10. And they had tried to implement it. Then they would move on. So he said, we used to learn knowledge and practice at the same time. Knowledge and practice at the same time. That's how they learned the Quran. And that is why it is more advisable for you in Ramadan, because this is the time when Muslims tend to be most connected with the Quran during Ramadan. People take the Quran off the shelves, blow off the dust, open it up, and read through the whole Quran in Ramadan. Once, twice, five times. Boast amongst each other who read it the largest number of times. But what was required of us is reading the Quran with understanding. This is why Allah says in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Will they not reflect on the meanings of the Quran? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Or are hearts locked up? That is the case of the majority of us. We read the Quran without reflection. So then what is the value of that reading? Zero. We are like what Allah describes in the Quran, Himar yahmilu asfara, donkeys carrying books on our backs. The Quran may be in our heads, we've memorized it, but it has not affected our hearts. It hasn't gone in and affected our hearts. Because the goal of the Quran is to modify our behavior and for us to live the Quran. When Aisha was asked, what was the character of the Prophet ﷺ like? She said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. His character was that of the Quran. That's what the goal is, to have the character of the Quran. That is what we should be striving for, to be a living manifestation of the Quran, to bring the realities of the Quran into our lives. This is the learning of the Quran. Whoever learns the Quran in this manner and then teaches others to understand the Quran in a similar manner, they are the best of people. And that is what is worth striving for. As to blindly memorizing the Quran, not understanding a single word of the Quran, memorizing for the sake of memorizing, memorizing because you have been designated by your family to be the one who memorizes the Quran, because one, people who memorize the Quran are supposed to be able to take their family members into paradise. So everybody else in the family goes off in the dunya doing whatever they want to do, but you have been designated to memorize the whole Quran so that on the Day of Judgment, you'll be able to grab the hands of your relatives, your parents, your brothers and sisters, and their children, and carry them into paradise with you. This is a fake story. It's not true. It's a story which has been circulated, and because of that, we find people, you know, forcing children to memorize the Quran simply in order to save the family. But this is a distortion of what the learning of the Quran means. The learning of the Quran means understanding the Quran, living its teachings. So Allah has told us through His Messenger that the best of us are those who learn the Quran and teach it to others. To learn it, you have to be a student. To teach it, you are a teacher. And that is in keeping also with the statement of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, that this world is cursed, الدُّنْيَا مَلْعُونَ, and everything in it is cursed, مَلْعُونٌ مَا فِيهَا, if we are addicted to it. If we are addicted to the dunya, then it's a curse for us. إِلَّا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ, except for the remembrance of Allah. If we are addicted to the remembrance of Allah, that is the greatest blessing that we could be blessed with. وَمَا وَلَا, and whatever helps us to remember Allah. وَعَالِمًا وَمُتَعَلِّمًا, the teacher and the student. So we should be, throughout our lives, either teachers or students or both. Learning and teaching. Seeking knowledge and conveying the knowledge. This is what makes us the best. And this is what we are encouraged to make a part of our own personal lifestyle, to live that. Learning and teaching. With that, dear viewers, we'd like to thank you for being with us in this segment of our program. We're going to take an hour brief break, and we'll be back after the break. La ilaha illallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome back from the break. And prior to the break, we were looking at the statement of the Prophet with regards to who is the best amongst us vis-a-vis the Quran itself. And he informed us that the best are those who learn the Quran and teach it to others. And we said that learning the Quran meant not merely memorizing its verses, but understanding the Quran, understanding its meanings. So in Ramadan, rather than trying to repeat the parrot reading of the Quran umpteen numbers of times, it is better for us to have read Surah Al-Baqarah, understood its meanings, reading the tafsir along with it, grasping for the first time in our lives what is Allah saying in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah. 2.5 juz of the Quran. And you know, the Sahaba related to us that one among them who had memorized Surah Al-Baqarah was called Hafiz. Hafiz. Today, for that means it's a person who has memorized the whole Quran. To say to somebody who has memorized only Surah Al-Baqarah that he's Hafiz, that would be considered like blasphemy. You should not say that. Don't call him Hafiz. Hafiz is one who has memorized the whole Quran. But that's not how the early generation understood it. So it is better if all you can get through, and that's plenty, if all you can get through is Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah contains virtually everything that's in the rest of the Quran. It's there in Surah Al-Baqarah. If we can memorize Surah Al-Baqarah, if we can learn the meanings of Surah Al-Baqarah, read and understand Surah Al-Baqarah in Ramadan, it's far better than parrot reciting the whole Arabic Quran time and time and time again, which has no impact on our lives, which has no real meaning to us, only a ritual that we do, our family does, our parents did, and our children will do. It's just a custom, a meaningless custom. We have given it value, made claims about it, but reality is that it is a meaningless custom. Going on to what may be considered the greatest chapter in the Quran, and we already looked at the best part of the Quran, Abu Sa'id ibn al-Mu'alla, he related that the Prophet ﷺ said, لَأُعَلِّمَنَّكَ أَعْظَمَ سُورَةٍ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ قَبْلْ أَنْ أَخْرُجَ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ قال قلت يا رسول الله قولك قال الحمد لله رب العالمين وهي سبعة المثاني التي أوتيته والقرآن العظيم. Let me teach you the greatest chapter from the Quran before I leave the mosque. As we were leaving the mosque, I said, what about what you said when they were leaving? He said, it is all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, which are the seven oft-repeated verses and the magnificent Quran. The greatest chapter in the Quran is the first chapter of the Quran itself, what we call Surah Al-Fatiha. And that is why Allah has made it the prayer leader, the head aspect of our prayer, core element of our daily prayers that we do 17 times every day. Surah Al-Fatiha. So it is important that each and every one of us understand it, understand its meanings, recite it with reflection. It is a dua for us. It begins with the praise of Allah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Ad-Din. All of that is praising Allah. Recognizing Allah's greatness, His mercy, and the fact that He will hold us to account. Then, it is an expression of our commitment to worshipping Allah alone. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And it involves reaffirming our belief in the oneness of Allah and that He alone should be worshipped. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. As well, it involves calling on Allah for help as being the only one who can help us. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And it teaches us the most important thing that we should ask for in life. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Show us the straight path. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The path of those on whom is your blessings. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. And not the path of those on whom is your anger. وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Nor those who have gone astray. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had informed us that those on whom is Allah's anger are the Jews, who had the teachings but didn't follow it. And those who have gone astray are the Christians, who lost the teachings and don't know where they are and what they're doing. So they've ended up worshipping Jesus as God instead of worshipping the God of Jesus. So this daily prayer contains in it the elements of life for us, which involve gratitude to Allah that we've spoken about earlier, praising Allah, recognizing His mercy in our lives, recognizing that ultimately we will have to answer to Him, worshipping Him alone, and seeking help from Him alone. Rejecting those who propose that we worship others beside Him, or calling on others who are not able to help us, and striving to stay on the straight path, that path of Islam. We ask Allah to keep us on that path of Islam, to give us an understanding which would touch our hearts and cause our hearts to be attached on a continual basis to the teachings of Islam. And know that those who are pleasing to Allah, the righteous who went before us, they were on that path. They have died on that path. And those who are to be righteous, who will be righteous, will all be on that same path. And we have been blessed with knowledge. We are obliged to act on that knowledge. If we don't, then Allah's wrath will be upon us. And if we're ignorant, we have to seek knowledge rather than continuing in our ignorance and misguiding others as a result of it. We need to seek knowledge and not be amongst those who have gone astray. So, the greatest chapter from the Quran is none other than Surah Al-Fatiha. It is something that has been used to remove evil. Its recitation can drive away evil forces, sickness, can drive away possession, jinn influence, demonic attack, etc. The Sahaba used it in this way. So when we have people with issues, we recite Surah Al-Fatiha over them on a regular basis. After reciting, we blow away. After reciting, or on them. So it has value, not only in our daily prayers, but also it has a value as an instrument for exorcism, an instrument for protecting the family individuals from spiritual attack. However, the practice of some by writing it on paper and washing the paper and drinking it, and, you know, people have gone overboard. We should stick with what was done by the Sahaba and was approved by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Recite it. That is sufficient. As to reciting it over water and giving it to others and charging them for it, you know, depending on who recited over it, you know, people have developed, you know, pharmacies, you know, for exorcism, where you can buy different bottles of water different scholars have recited over. This is all nonsense. This is not from the deen. This was not the practice of the Sahaba. Just recite the Quran. It works. Allah has called it Shifa'un lima fi sudur, a cure for what is in the hearts. So with that, dear viewers, I'd like to thank you for being with us in this episode of The Best in Islam. With that, I bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.